भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
रिसाइटिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम Second Canto, 8th chapter, text number 5. Correct, no? 5.
Pravishta Karna Randrena Swanam Bhava Saroruham Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna Salilasya Yathasharat प्रविष्टः कर्णरन्ध्रेण स्वानां भावसरोरुहं धुनोति शमलं कृष्ण सलिलस्य यथाशरः। प्रविष्टः कर्णरन्ध्रेण स्वानां भावसरोरुहं धुनोति शमलं कृष्ण सलिलस्य यथाशरत्। प्रविष्टकर्णरन्ध्रेण कर्णरन्ध्रेण शमलं कृष्ण धुनाति शमलं कृष्ण।
वैष्णवीस
प्रविष्टकर्णरन्ध्रेण शमलं कृष्ण
प्रविष्टः दस् बीइंग एंटर्ड कर्णरन्ध्रेण through the holes of the ears.
Swanam,
according to one's liberated position.
Bhava,
constitutional relationship.
Sarahruham,
the lotus flower.
Bhunoti,
cleanses.
Shamalam,
material qualities like lust, anger, avarice and hankering.
Krishna,
Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Salilasya,
of the reservoir of waters.
Yatha,
as it were.
Sharat,
the autumn season. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Aise Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. The sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, enters into the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, and thus cleanses the dust of material association, such as lust, anger and hankering. Thus it acts like autumnal rains upon pools of muddy water. Purport. It is said that a single pure devotee of the Lord can deliver all the fallen souls of the world. Thus one who is actually in the confidence of a pure devotee, like Narada or Shukadeva Goswami, and thus is empowered by one's spiritual master, as Narada was by Brahmaji, can not only deliver himself from the clutches of Maya or illusion, but can deliver the whole world by his pure and empowered devotional strength. The comparison to the autumnal rain that falls on muddy reservoirs of water is very appropriate. During the rainy season, all the waters of the rivers become muddy, but in the month of July, August, the autumn season, when there is a slight rainfall, the muddy waters of the rivers all over the world become at once clear. By addition of some chemical, a small reservoir of water, like that of a metropolitan waterworks tank, can be clear. But by such a tiny effort, it is not possible to clear up all the reservoirs of water like the rivers. A powerful pure devotee of the Lord, however, can deliver not only his personal self, but also many others in his association. In other words, the cleansing of the polluted heart by other methods, like culture of empiric knowledge or mystic gymnastics, can simply cleanse one's own heart. But devotional service to the Lord is so powerful that it can cleanse the hearts of the people in general by the devotional service of the pure, empowered devotee. A true representative of the Lord, like Narada, Shukadeva Goswami, Lord Chaitanya, Six Goswamis, and later Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, etc. That etc. includes His Divine Grace as Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada, can deliver all people by their empowered devotional service. By sincere efforts to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, one realizes his constitutional relationship with the Lord in the transcendental humor of servitude, friendship, paternal affection, or conjugal love. And by such self-realization, one becomes situated at once in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Not only were all the pure devotees like Narada self-realized souls, but they were engaged in preaching work automatically by spiritual impetus, and thus they delivered many poor souls entangled in material modes. They become so powerful because they sincerely followed the Bhagavatam principles by regular hearing and worshipping. By such actions, the accumulated material lusts, etc., become cleansed by personal endeavor of the Lord within the heart. The Lord is always within the heart of the living being, but He becomes manifested by one's devotional service. Purification of the heart by culture of knowledge or mystic yoga may be all right for the time being for an individual person, but it is like the cleansing of a small quantity of stagnant water by chemical processes. Such a clarification of water may stand for the time being and such sediment settle down, but by a slight agitation everything becomes muddy. The idea is that devotional service to the Lord is the only method of cleansing the heart for good. Whereas other methods may be superficially good for the time being, there is a risk of becoming muddy again due to agitation of the mind. Devotional service to the Lord with specific attention for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and always is the best recommended method for liberation from the clutches of illusion. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuvan Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale. Here Parikshit Maharaj in this chapter is asking many questions. Most part of this chapter. That's why this chapter is entitled Questions by King Parikshit. Pravishta means to enter. Karana Randrena. It's in the ear hole. So when the message of Srimad Bhagavatam enters into the ear holes, or glorification of the Lord enters into the ear holes of a self-realized devotee, what does it do? He says, it sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, which is Swarupa, and thus cleanses the dust of material association. If there is anything material which is covering over, just like sometimes iron filing may have a lot of dirt and dust, it appears almost like a mud. If you see in a shop floor where they turn sometimes this mild steel rods, sometimes you find there is so much of sand and dust over it, because of which the iron apparently loses its quality. But if you remove the dust by turning or polishing, again you can see the quality of a metal. Similarly, he says that the Swarupa is there, but covering that is so much lust and anger and hankering and other dirty things. It cleanses it. Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna. Dhunoti means thoroughly cleanse it. Krishna Salilasi Yatasharat. So after the rainy season, the end of the rainy season is autumnal rains, which come and they thoroughly cleanse all the muddy pool of water and the lakes become filled with clear waters. In the same manner, the heart which is full of dust actually becomes replaced with clear message of Lord Krishna, a sound incarnation of Lord Krishna. He says, so for the sound vibration to produce this effect, this kind of effect, cleansing effect, this is heard in many places. We hear Shrinvatam, Chakata, Krishna, Punya, Shavana, Ketana, similar thing. A couple of verses ago we heard Shinbatas Shraddhaya Nityam Grinatascha Sucheshtitam, isn't it? Kalena Kalena Adidirgena Bhagavan Vishate Hrudi. That if one hears this message of Bhagavatam, then very soon the Lord will enter the heart of that devotee. That kind of things are mentioned. Recently I was reading an article of Satyudas Maharaj where he says six things about hearing. And if this is applied, he says, then you can consider the hearing is complete, he says. Hearing of the message of Bhagavatam is complete, he says. First he says, such hearing should be done, he says, with intelligence. We will see what is this intelligence, we will see. It should also be heard with rapt attention. And then he says, such hearing should be done with submissiveness. And then he says, and such hearing should not be done from anywhere and everywhere, but it should be done from the right source, he says, which is parampara. Heard from the right source. Then he says, while hearing the message of the scriptures, one should make sure that one is already following the rules and regulations and that are taught to one, taught to a person. Because without following the rules and regulations, hearing will not have the desired effect in our system. So we have to be following the rules and regulations. Like for example, Prabhupada says, "Tat shrunu," just hear. And then Prabhupada says that just hear is possible for one who is free from sin. He says, because if one is sinful, then one cannot just hear. One will be disturbed, he says. That is why the rules and regulations should be followed. That is the fifth thing before one hears the message. And the last thing, one should strictly follow the orders of the spiritual master. And that makes the hearing complete, he says. These six things. Then hearing is complete. If one is doing the six things, then he can say it's complete hearing. So what is intelligence in hearing? Oftentimes people hear the same message, many people hear the same message, but sometimes people misunderstand, isn't it? Like once Prabhupada was speaking in a lecture that we should think of Krishna 24 hours a day. And then one devotee heard it and he felt, this seems to be a very difficult instruction Prabhupada has given. So Prabhupada said we should chant 24 hours a day, he said in that lecture. So this devotee started taking the bead bag and chanting all day. He stopped all his services. The manager called him, he said, "Prabhupada gave instruction in the Bhagavatam class that we should chant all day." So sometimes people catch one instruction and they misapply it. So Prabhupada used to say that requires some intelligence. One time a disciple asked Prabhupada, "How do we know what are the principles that can never be changed and what are the details that have to be adjusted according to Desh Kal Patra, time, place, circumstance?" And Prabhupada smiled and said, "That requires some intelligence." He said, "That requires some intelligence." So is it some brain substance, or is it some ability to speculate, or is it some innovative or creative ability in an individual that is called as this intelligence? No. This intelligence also comes from sincerity. If a devotee executes the instructions of the Guru sincerely, that type of intelligence will be supplied to the devotee in order to be able to understand exactly what is being told to me. Like you know the story of this Paramartha Guru. This is very famous in South India, this Paramartha Guru story. There are many stories in it. There's a very bulky book on this. But I have heard in ISKCON a part of the story people telling to show how this Paramartha Guru had a very foolish disciple. So one day Guru was going in a horse and the disciple was going in another horse behind. Suddenly the Guru's bag, handbag in which he had kept all the items, books and many other materials, it fell off. And the disciple didn't pick up. Their horses are going like this. He saw it falling down, but he didn't pick up. He went ahead. After some distance, Guru stopped for a lunch and he saw the bag missing. He asked the disciple, "Hey, my disciple, did you see my bag falling anywhere?" He said, "Yes, Maharaj, I saw it." "Why you didn't pick up?" "But Maharaj, you never gave me the instruction that I should pick up." "What a fool you are. You know, anything falls down, are you not supposed to pick up and give it to me back?" "Okay, Maharaj, right now I will take my diary and pen." Immediately noted down. "Anything falls down, pick up and hand it over to Guru." He noted down. Anyway, then the Guru sent somebody to go and search for the bag. A lot of time was spent in getting it back. Then after that, everything was loaded on the back of the horse. Again, after lunch, they started moving ahead. And they're going, suddenly the horse passed stool. Like that, big quantity. Immediately, the disciple jumped off the back of his horse and picked it all up and put it in a very big plate. "Guruji, Guruji, here." Guru asked, "What is it?" He turned around and said, "It was stinking." "Yeah, you are offering me a stinking horse tool? What a kind of fool you are." You know, he said, "Guruji, you only told me whatever falls down, you pick up and give me." So Guru got fed up. Then the disciple said, "Guruji, please clarify everything nicely to me." You tell me what all things I should pick up. Only that much I'll pick up and give you. So Guru said, okay, if bag falls, give me. Kartals falls, give me. Mridangam falls, give me. He wrote and gave all the list of items, some 8 or 10 items. He noted down. And then they went ahead. And when they were going in the horse, suddenly, at a certain place, the Guruji's horse became frightened due to some reason and started running, galloping very fast. And suddenly it overthrew Guru from the top. So Guru fell off. And the disciple immediately took out the list and checked. And he found many things and Guru's name was not there. So he went and Guru was shouting, "Hey, disciple, come!" And then he turned around and said, "Guruji, because you called me, I am coming back. Tell me any instruction now." And the Guru said, "Instruction? I am falling on the ground here. My back is paining and you are not even lifting me up. Sorry, Guruji, you didn't give your name on the list." So, you know, this kind of foolishness is commonly seen. One lacks intelligence in hearing the instruction. So that is why he says the first thing, we need intelligence to hear the instruction and apply in our everyday life. Why we require intelligence? Of course, in the name of intelligence, one should not misapply the instructions as this fellow was doing. Misapplying instructions. Actually, Srila Prabhupada's books contain instructions which are unambiguous. They are very simple, straightforward. You cannot confuse anything. Prabhupada often says many things twice or thrice because he knows that, you know, our intelligence is like this disciple's intelligence. Prabhupada knows in Kali Yuga, Manda Sumanda Matyo, you say one thing, they will do another thing. That's why Prabhupada many times says 2-3 times what he wants to say, repeatedly in his purports and his letters and all. And we should not try to misconstrue some meaning. Like it happened once Prabhupada disciple was speaking in a meeting, in the one of the GBC meetings or some meeting. He was telling that Prabhupada said that all his disciples should come to Mayapur Dham and retire there in their old age, just chant and, you know, take prasadam and be happy. This is Prabhupada's instruction. You know, if you want, I can show you. I have found out from folio. I have a letter. So he was showing the letter. Everyone was stunned, really? Actually, that meeting was going on about whether Prabhupada's disciples should go around the world and preach vigorously and work hard, or they should come to Mayapur and retire there. And stay there, take prasadam, attend morning program, don't give any donation, just stay there. And they were feeling that sometimes a person may become a burden to the project because they may simply eat and sleep and not preach, not work hard. So the person was quoting like this. Prabhupada said, just come to Mayapur Dham, stay here, eat prasadam, take rest and live your life. He quoted from a letter. So later on, that meeting ended. After a couple of days, one devotee came. "Prabhu, I found the letter from where this person quoted." And then, you know what was that letter? That letter was written to Bhavanand Prabhu or somebody, I think. Bhavanand Prabhu or Bhagwan Maharaj, I don't remember, to whom Prabhupada wrote. Prabhupada wrote sarcastically. It was a sarcastic letter. It was a very hot letter saying that you should go out and preach. You should not waste a single minute. Devotee should work hard. And as a part of the letter, Prabhupada said, "Oho, so you are asking that you go to Mayapur and stay? Okay, just go to Mayapur, eat and sleep peacefully." It was a sarcastic part that was cut and pasted to show Prabhupada gave instruction like this. The whole other part of the letter talks about, you know, giving one's body, mind, words, pran, life, everything. So in this way, we should not misconstrue any meaning out of the instructions given by Prabhupada, our spiritual master, to suit one's own whims, to suit one's own independent plans or desires. That tendency is there in the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul tries to justify what he wants to do. So then he may take one quote and say that, you know, Prabhupada said it, or my Guru Maharaj said it, and one may try to prove it. So that is a misuse of intelligence. That's a misuse of intelligence. So earlier I was telling you the story to show it is lack of intelligence, or somebody may have intelligence and they may misuse it. That is also wrong. So we should not become a duskritina. Duskritina and sukritina. Duskritina means one who does meritorious work, but one who is notorious. You know, the word notorious is opposite to famous. Famous is a positive word, notorious is a derogatory word. Notorious. So, in other words, in English we call such people as perverted genius, we call it. One may become a perverted genius. So, in hearing the instructions, one shouldn't become a perverted genius and misapply the teachings of Acharya. Then one will never attain the desired results by doing such a thing. So this is the first thing, intelligence. Then I was telling you, secondly, submissiveness. Submissiveness means only when the hearing is done with submissiveness, there will be some benefit. A very practical life example is this. When Satyadas Maharaj was serving as a secretary of Prabhupada, at that time he wrote a personal realization. He saw many of his god brothers like Tamalakshna Maharaj and all were going out preaching, making devotees, traveling worldwide. They were very dynamic and active, doing many, many things for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada also was congratulating them either for book distribution or for preaching and bringing people to the movement. And as a secretary, he was watching all that. So he thought to himself one day, what am I doing? And I am not preaching at all. I am not going out. I am simply in the name of being secretary to Prabhupada. I am just idling, wasting my time. So when he thought about it deeply, one realization came to him, which is a very amazing realization. He said to himself, I have no potency to preach. What do I have to preach? Of course, if Krishna wants, he may empower me to preach. Because Krishna can empower anybody. Mukham karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripatamaham mande shri gurum dina tarinam. Yes, Krishna may empower me to preach. I may do great things if he wishes. But in order to get that situation of becoming empowered, I have to please my guru first. Otherwise, how I can get that potency? So then he thought further, let me do my secretarial services very nicely, writing, filing and assisting Prabhupada in rendering his service very successfully. Let me do that very diligently. Let me focus my attention on this one service without looking at somebody else, what service they are doing, what is bringing them name and fame. Instead of that, let me do my one service given to me very diligently, because that will please Prabhupada. If Prabhupada is pleased by that, he may bless me, and then at the right time, you know, he will use me as an instrument and he may send me out to preach, and then I can, and I will also have deep realizations at that time, and you know, my preaching will be effective. So let me do my services very diligently. And another thing he observed in himself, he saw that Prabhupada is giving morning walks and evening walks also with devotees. So Satyadas Maharaj had a question, whether do I need to go along with other disciples or can I stay back and do my own work? Then one day he thought, let me also go, let me also hear. He thought, why? Because now that he is available, he is in the planet and he is speaking, and Prabhupada liked to see disciples hearing him attentively and taking his association. And just because I happen to be his secretary doesn't mean I have to take him very cheaply. I should not take him for granted. So let me hear in the morning and evening walks where you can get close to Prabhupada and hear him, you know, offering challenges and defeating the opposite arguments very nicely. And if I hear him nicely, then I will also develop the art of preaching. How to preach and how to defeat, how to accept challenges, I will also learn. So let me hear him and not take him for granted. This is the second thing he realized. The first thing he said was, let me do my service in a focused way. And apart from the time I am spending in service, when I get some time, I should hear from him. And I shouldn't think that, oh, I have his books, they are available, I can always read his books. But he says, Prabhupada said, he gives this example, Krishna and his energies. Further, Prabhupada gives example, me and my tape, he says. So, Prabhupada's tape contains the recorded sound of Prabhupada, which is very good for hearing. But out of the two, which is superior? Hearing the recorded tape of Prabhupada or associating with Prabhupada personally? Personally associating with him. Huh? You see, three things you can take. Prabhupada's purport books, Prabhupada's sound vibration, Prabhupada speaking, and the person Prabhupada. Out of the three, you will see, in the same order you will see. The person Prabhupada is very powerful. You can see him. Like we have some videos of Prabhupada where you can see him speaking on Kunti's prayers. In the beginning you can see that, if you have, any of you have seen it. How many of you have seen it? Teachings of Queen Kunti. Huh? In that, in the beginning it goes, you know. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So, one devotee is singing, Vishnu and Swami are somebody singing, and then Prabhupada also singing in the mic after that. And moving the head like this, you will see it. Moving this way and this way. If simply by hearing that kirtan, you will get tremendous determination. Simply by see that video of Prabhupada listening to the kirtan, and he is also singing, and he's nodding, and then he is playing kartar. Shri Krishna, nodding the head, you know. And then he sings Jayaradha Madhava after that. You see how he sings Jayaradha Madhava, I can see that. So, associating with a person personally is very powerful. And then the recording, and then the recorded sound in a paper. So, Prabhupada told that he wanted his, when he is present in any center, he wanted his disciples to personally hear from him. Then Satyavad Maharaj decided that, yes, I will go and hear in the morning and evening and learn from him how to preach. I should. And then he says, oftentimes devotees think books are meant for new people or lectures are for new people. When we become old, people think, I know it. I know it. I have already attended. I know this. How many times we will hear the same thing again and again? People think like that. But he says, no. We have to constantly hear and regularly hear and hear again and again, many times. That is said in the scriptures itself. The same scripture you hear many times, you will get deeper and deeper realization depending on your surrender as years pass by. The degree to which we become submissive, to that degree the book reveals itself. That is why it says Prakashante Mahatmanaha. It reveals, not that you can pull out some meaning. Scriptures have to reveal. So he said this, by hearing from Prabhupada, you know, my affection for Prabhupada will increase, and also I will also learn how to speak the philosophy properly. Thirdly, he says that there is person Bhagavatam and there is book Bhagavatam and person Bhagavatam. I would like to observe how Prabhupada does his everyday activities while dealing with different people, while dealing with different situations, while handling different kinds of problems that come to him, how he deals. That also will teach me a lesson. And also, a pure devotee's life itself is like a book. Everything he says, his outlook, his movements, his behavior, that teaches a lot of lessons. If you simply stay around, just like Harishwari Prabhu also writes that, if you just stick around Prabhupada, you will see how he deals with different people, different situation. It is all Krishna conscious. He is always like a flower, transcendental to the material world. Wherever you go, whether he is in the midst of the market or whether he is in Vrindavan, it makes no difference to him. So this is the third thing he says, that I should understand, why should I be so eager to go and preach and show who I am or how big I am? Rather, I should stay in the association of this pure devotee and observe his movements, observe his speech, and then I can learn from him what modifications I should bring about in myself. And by that I will make advancement, simply by observing a great soul. So, these three realizations came to him. Doing the duties given to him, secretarial duties very diligently, and hearing from Prabhupada in the morning and evening, and also to watch Prabhupada, observe and learn from him. What is ideal behavior of a Krishna conscious devotee? He says, when I decided these three things, he said, I became blissful in my service. I became very happy. Oftentimes, our desire for preaching is motivated by our desire to capture the limelight, our desire to be known amongst devotees, or we want to become famous or well known as the one who gives wonderful classes and all that. We delight more in our fame than in Krishna. How much do we delight in speaking about Krishna? Prabhupada also delighted in speaking, but Prabhupada's delight was in Krishna, was in glorification of Krishna. Prabhupada made a point that everywhere, anywhere he goes, he will glorify Krishna. Like, you know, when he boarded the Jaladuta, it came to Colombo, which is Sri Lanka. There it was, I think it was Janmashtami day. In the ship only Prabhupada celebrated Janmashtami day. He cooked some sweets, he gave a lecture, and he distributed to everyone. Prabhupada did it as dharma. Glorifying Krishna is my dharma. Wherever I am, and Prabhupada do that. In our stage, are we doing it with the joy that Krishna is glorified, that people hear the glorification of Krishna? Is a doubt. That is why Satyavrata Maharaja writes, if the circumstances placed you in his situation, one should find out how best to hear and benefit and purify oneself, and then one will be able to preach. Like that he says. So I especially spoke about this. Why? Because both the things are stressed in the scripture. We should have a great eagerness to hear the scriptures, Shravanam, hear the glorification of Krishna, and we should have a great desire to preach also. But at the same time, we also need an appropriate attitude of submissiveness to hear and preach. If one doesn't have submissiveness, like I told you these three points give us an understanding of what is submissiveness. If we don't have that type of submissiveness, we may hear the scriptures and we may speak it, and people may even like our superficial presentation of the scriptures, which may appear very attractive. Like that verse says, Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jati Shastram Japastapaha Apranasyeva Dehasya Mandanam Lokaranjan. It's only a Lokaranjan. Entertainment for the people. That's all. Wah, wah, people will clap hands and go. That's all. But the heart will not be transformed. Here there is a talk going on about heart transformation. It won't happen. Ashok Prabhupada says, how the heart transforms, in one place he says, the sadhu means to cut, he says. And how does a sadhu cut? He does not use the sword. He does not use any knife or sword or gun or anything. What does he use? He uses the sword of bhukti, he says. Bhukti means the words. He uses the words to cut the material attachments. That is the duty of a saintly person, he says. So the scriptures throughout, they give many, many nice examples. But then all these examples, they straight go into the heart and they cut the material bondage. Just like Vidura was cutting the attachments of Dhritarashtra. Like that. So, first of all, one should oneself hear the Bhagavatam. And the Hriday Granthi should be cut. What is that verse? Yad anudyasina yukta karma granthi nibandhanam chindanti kovidastasya unakuryat katharatim. So, for the katha, one has to pay a very submissive oral reception. Then the Hriday Granthi will be cut off. And then when our Hriday Granthi is getting cut off, then we can share the same appreciation with other people. But if we don't submissively hear, then our knots will not be cut off. Like somebody is hearing Bhagavatam 10 years or 20 years, 30 years. They remain the same. Huh? Why the hard knot? Knot of many things, Prabhupada says. Knot of material attachment, bondage. Why is it not cut? There is some lack of submissiveness. Huh? Very much possible. Lack of submissiveness means arrogance. Thinking that I know better. Or I know everything. Or this is the same thing. They are just repeating the same old thing. Nothing new. What is so great about it? I know 10 times more information than what is being presented here. This kind of attitude will not help. Actually, in the modern, we are living in this Kali Yuga, which is called as the information age. Information explosion, as you say. You know, one time I gave exercise to college students. I gave them a group quiz. I said, from the top of the head to the tip of the toe, write down all possible diseases in the body. It was one engineering college students. So within about 15-20 minutes, their exercise was over. They came. I asked, how many diseases you found out? They said, 200 diseases. I was shocked. How you engineering guys know so much about medicine? All the names, even I couldn't spell it also, many of them. Complex diseases. And then they laughed and said, Prabhuji, we got from internet, they said. Just downloaded from internet. We just printed it out. They were saying. So, today you want anything, go to Google search, immediately you can get. There is no information not available. You just put a word search, immediately you will get. So the whole, in the global net, it's available with a lot of information. So, if you bring some unknown information to the devotees may be impressed, which nobody has heard before. This is a new story this fellow is telling. Oh, it's a new example he's telling. Why, this is a new incident. I never knew. Aray, this fellow always brings new stuff. Very nice. All devotees will bring the notebook and pen and very carefully note down all the examples you gave. But neither you have done your job nor have they received what they needed to receive. You know, so they will go with information. They will explore the same information what you gave them. And their hearts will remain stuck. In the material mess. And then you also will develop a wrong attitude in spiritual life. What is that? Now I have to cook some new information for next lecture. I have to get something from somewhere which nobody knows. You know, and that attitude itself is a bogus attitude. You see, we can have a desire that I want to give something substantial to devotees so that devotees can benefit from it. There's nothing wrong in that. But if one, for the sake of impressing the people, you get some information which is not connected to the topic or which is just meaningless. So the tendency is there in conditioned souls like us. We are in growing stage. So we have to know another problem with that kind of activity is, you know what? Over a period of time, devotees get used to getting new information. New story, new information, something new, looking for something new. And then they will lose the capacity to hear from mediocre devotees. Imagine if a mediocre devotee comes and gives a Bhagavatam class. All he can do is he reads a purport and says there are threefold miseries, there are fourfold problems. He repeats from Bhagavad Gita. How are you going to hear? Will you have the stamina to hear? Will you have the stamina to hear some simple class from a devotee who is giving Bhagavatam first time or second time? So then we may commit offenses. In our mind, we may not be able to digest it. So, the submissiveness to hear means we have to know this is sound vibration of Krishna. Krishna is manifesting as Bhagavatam. Even if somebody reads the shloka, the purport, and the translation and purport, and reads it, you know, you hear that sound vibration message. You know, it can give rise to so many thoughts in your mind. It can be heard. And it should be heard with submissiveness. Now somebody may say, we don't have speakers like Shukadeva Goswami or Sutta Goswami who spoke the Bhagavatam today. But actually Prabhupada said, in all our temples the Bhagavatam should be recited, and every day different speakers will speak to the best of the realization, whatever they, because somebody is like a sparrow, somebody is like a crow, somebody is like a swan. Different birds can, somebody is like an eagle. Different people can go to different depths of realization. They can fly in the sky to different levels, and they may bring out the realization. But whatever it may be, one should not be choosy. One should hear. Like we went to Mayapur, you know, the Bhagavatam class was about to be on. Immediately devotees are asking, who is giving the class today? And they were telling some name of some young new brahmachari. Okay, I thought, you know, Bhakti Vidyapurna Maharaj will give class. He is giving, then I thought of going. If somebody else is giving, I would rather just lie down and sleep, go to sleep. That's not a good attitude. Not a good attitude. Of course, if you have only limited choice, you know, Shastra surely say that we should seek advanced association. That is the opposite point. We have to seek advanced association. Like Anya Ninda Adi Shunyam Hridamipsita Sangaladya. For example, if a very, very new devotee is giving without much realization, you know, repeating like a parrot. On the other hand, there is another lecture going on where a very advanced pure devotee is giving lecture. Naturally, we should prefer a pure devotee. Pure devotee or a very advanced and purified devotee. We should prefer to hear from them. There is no doubt about that. And having a desire to hear from advanced devotees is also not wrong. At the same time, if there is no other option, we have to hear from a very young devotee. We should be willing. Because the message of Bhagavatam is pure. So, that is why he is saying about the submissiveness. If somebody considers oneself very great, they can't have the submissiveness at all. They may not want to hear. This is one very good test for all of us. How much stamina I have to sit in the Bhagavatam class of a young devotee and hear with my full-blown ears, attention. Every single word I can take. That is the challenge for you. If somebody says, Prabhuji, my ears are piercing, I want to run away from here. I cannot sit and hear. That means that much we are arrogant. You can understand. That much our ears are unwilling to hear. Yeah, there are devotees who told me this. They can't sit and hear. Their mind is blowing them. That is a lack of submissiveness. That's all. Mind is blown. So, here we are talking about hearing from Prabhupada. Hearing Satsudas Maharaj, hearing from Prabhupada. So this is very, very beautiful realization. I appreciated it. So, first I told you about intelligence. Then I told you about submissiveness. Then thirdly, I was telling about attention, rapt attention. Isn't it? You see, over a period of time, our mind tends to become lax. It refuses to pay attention. Like if you are sitting in a classroom, and if you are hearing, if you are peeping out of the window, then mind becomes preoccupied with what is going outside the window. Some crow is making sound, isn't it? Some dog is passing by. Then your attention goes there. Because wherever our mind is, we also go there. You are where your mind is. Physically you may be present. Our body is present, ears are present, eyes are present. Ear alone is not enough. You need the ear and the mind. Without the mind, we cannot hear. Physically present, mentally absent. So, the rapt attention is needed for the message. You will find Parikshit Maharaj hearing from Shukadeva Goswami. How do you know he is in rapt attention? Because the questions he is asking from that. Like, you know, when he was talking about Agasura pastime, Parikshit Maharaj immediately asked the question, what they have been doing this 1 year? Isn't it? He's asking. Also when Kaliya, Krishna doing subduing Kaliya, at that time Shukadeva Goswami very fastly ran through. He said one Kaliya came into Yamuna and Krishna danced on Kaliya and he subdued him and he sent him away. And then Parikshit said, please tell me this pastime very elaborately. I would like to know who is this Kaliya and why did he come into the Yamuna and what activities did he do in Yamuna? And why did Krishna subdue him? All those questions, please elaborately explain. Don't try to cut short. We generally tell the speakers, Prabhuji, please kindly wind up as soon as possible. But Shukadeva Goswami is telling, Parikshit is saying, don't cut short. Please tell as elaborately as possible. He's very enthusiastic to hear. And also he doesn't miss out on any details. He's asking. One time Parikshit Maharaj asked a question. You are saying that when all the covered boys and calves return back home, they were attracted to their sons. Sons means the expansions of Krishna. Huh? They were attracted to them more than Krishna. Why is it so? Huh? How can the parents be attracted to some child other than their own child? Is it not surprising? In this world you will find everyone loves their child first and then others' children. You ask any mother, even if their child is not very beautiful, still they are attracted to their own child first, then only other children. So Parikshit asked this question, how is it that Vrajavasis were attracted to Krishna who appeared as their child, than their own son? How is it possible? Sukadeva Goswami was so happy with such type of questions. Then he said, my dear Parikshit, Krishna is called Atmatmana. Atmatmana means he is the Atma of the Atma. He is the soul of the souls. So every jiva loves themselves first and then their body and then their relatives. Whereas when it comes to Krishna, they love him more than their souls also. Because he is inside their soul. He is residing in the heart of the souls. Like that he said. Like all of us, what do we love first? We love ourselves, our Atma first, then our body, then our relatives. So as it goes, the attachment reduces more and more. Whereas one truly loves Krishna more. So in this way, attention is needed to... In fact, Parikshit will also refer to the previous things that Sukadeva Goswami spoke. You said that like this and now you are saying like this. And he will compare and ask him question. So, attention is needed. Rapt attention. Only one who is... one who is very attentive, you know the story of how Kayadu's during Kayadu's pregnancy, Narada Muni spoke, but Kayadu could not hear, but Prahlad was hearing everything. And the reason is given by Prabhupada, because Kayadu was pregnant and she was also attacked by demigods who were trying to capture her and take her away. She had become a bit frightened by that. Because she thought that they are going to kill me or kill the child in the womb. She had become a sort of frightened. And then Narada Muni came, intervened, and he protected her and took her to the ashrama and gave her Sadupadesh, Bhagavata Upadesh, he gave. And she was hearing, so although she was hearing, her attention was not there because of the fear. And also Prabhupada says she was thinking about her husband who was away. When will he come back? You know, and when will the child be born so I can be more peaceful? Like that. So, Prabhupada says, due to these two reasons, she was inattentive. And because of that, she could not get the same benefit what Prahlad Maharaj got. Because of inattentiveness. Yeah. Throughout the scriptures, there are stories which talk about attentiveness and inattentiveness. Yeah. Like Kaliya had heard his wife glorifying Krishna so many times because they were all Hare Krishna devotees. They were all chanting the Lord's holy names and singing the glories of Bhagavat every day. But Kaliya would just hear it like this and leave it like this. He would never pay attention because he wanted to show his wives that he is the greatest person in the whole world. In fact, he would eat other snakes and other fishes and show his wives, just see how powerful I am, the water. You know, when one is intoxicated by one's own greatness, no? Then one cannot hear about Krishna's greatness. Not possible. It doesn't appeal to our minds. We think, what is so great about it? And we think like that. So Kaliya could not hear. And then when Krishna climbed on his head and started pounding, boom, 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 he just completely subdued him. All poison and blood came out vomiting. Then Kaliya became completely submissive. And when he became submissive, he was gasping for some air, for some life. And then he heard his wife. That time hearing was very powerful hearing. It just went deep into his heart. Very submissive. I have personal experience. Also, whenever something didn't go my way, in something I was defeated, I made some plans and they didn't happen the way I planned. Then you feel the heart becomes a bit softened. At that point of time. Then you hear Bhagavatam. Once some Maharaj was speaking about how to accept defeat in life. That was the topic. I don't know how the topic came exactly on the day when I faced some defeat. I went and Krishna sometimes matches like that. Every word entered my ears and went straight into my heart. It was like a sponge you dip into the water. Like that I can repeat the lecture verbatim. Like that I heard very attentively. Because you know, in a certain stage we develop that type of consciousness, we can hear. Owner of this alpha level company, I was telling about him. Me and Gaurilapu went to his house once. But before we went to his house, a couple of days before that, you know what had happened? It came in the newspaper. He was going in his car carrying some big money. And when he was in the Pune Bombay Express Highway, suddenly he was encountered by a group of hoodlums. They all were carrying sticks and knife and gun and everything. Suddenly, and there was no one, it was a remote place on the road, and they surrounded the, practically besieged the whole car, all sides, and they told him, remove the money. It was a big money, probably some 20 lakhs or something. He took out, he immediately gave them the money, don't kill me. And then after receiving that money, those gundas were thinking whether to kill him or leave him. Some of them said, hey, better we kill him, because once he's killed, now he won't create any trouble for us. Others said, Arey, he has given the money, why to kill him, leave him, leave this fellow. So while they were negotiating, the driver was very intelligent. He immediately took a about turn and he fled the car very fast. And those guys, they took big stones and threw on the car, the backside glass got broken and everything. Somehow he escaped and came. And his heart was breathing very fast, because imagine if somebody comes to kill you and they have all the weapons and everything and you escape badly. How your heart will be. So a couple of days later we went to his home. So when we went, you know, we saw in his home so many different Ganesh portraits were kept. Small, big, dancing Ganesh, sitting Ganesh and everything. So he was sitting with short. He said, actually I'm not a devotee of Ganesh. I am just it's a hobby for me to collect this kind of Ganesh idols, he was telling. And he said, my mother and father and all were saintly people, devotees of God. They used to read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavat and all. In our home, we used to have Bhagavat part and all. Ramayan part and all that. But myself, I became very materialistic, he said. My son and daughter are in Oxford and Cambridge. I have a lot of money. God has given me so much money. But I took God very lightly. And now he was 55 or something. He said, till date, I never even thought to thought of God anytime. Of course, I'm not an atheist, he said. I believe that it's all because of God's mercy I have this. But he said, this incident that happened a couple of days ago, till now my heart is palpitating very fast. Boom, 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 boom. He said, even now I have fear. I'm not free from fear, he said. Because my life was a threat. He said, because of this, last 2-3 days I'm alone. I'm not talking to anyone. I am trying to come out of this fear. And he asked us, do you have any solution? Immediately we took out the mala and gave him. Chant Hare Krishna and be fearless. But why I am telling you, he was very submissive. Immediately he took the mala and started chanting. That submissiveness came. Why? Because of the particular situation. The situation brought about, he was not humble, but he was humbled by the force of the circumstances. Even we all will be humbled someday and we will hear very attentively, with rapt attention. Otherwise, see, if everything is going our way, you know, we don't feel that desperation to hear. We think, okay, now it's Bhagavatam class, 8:30, we have to go now. Okay, is the time off? Prabhuji has finished now, thank you Prabhu. And we push off. And what did you carry from the class? Prabhuji said something from Bhagavatam. I used to ask devotees, whenever I am not in the temple, I go to some voice to give lectures. When I come back, I used to catch one devotee and ask, Sir Prabhu, how was the Bhagavatam class? Wonderful Bhagavatam class, Prabhu. Okay, can you tell me some points? Yes, Prabhuji, he said many, many points. What points he said? I don't remember anything, Prabhuji, but it was a good class. What kind of good class is that? You don't remember one point also? And Prabhuji, I will go and check my notebook. I wrote something. What you wrote, you copied from the neighbor. Something. See, then your notebook will go back to Godhead, I told them. You know? You don't have anything in the mind, isn't it? Actually, when we hear Bhagavatam at the end of the Bhagavatam class, surely our heart should be ringing with some message. And when we are walking here, walking there, going, coming, that message should ring. Oh, that was such a good point. It's very relevant to me. I am not submissive. I am arrogant. I have to become more submissive. Or I am not attentive. I am quite inattentive. My mind goes in 10 directions when I am hearing Bhagavatam. Or I am not intelligent. I always have confused intelligence. He was talking about intelligence, talking about submissiveness, he was talking about attention. So, when something is ringing in our mind, then only our heart will transform. Otherwise, it cannot transform. We can keep our heart like a stone. You know, if you dip a stone in water and take out, all water is drained out. There is no water. If you put a sponge in the water and take out, it's full of water. So, it requires a submissive heart and an attentive mind to hear Bhagavatam, message of Bhagavatam. So he said these things. And then he said, we should hear from the right source. So right source means you have to hear in parampara. We know that. That way everyone is coming in parampara only. All of us are coming in parampara. But we should learn to speak in parampara also. It's very important that we give the right message to people. We don't cheat the people. We should try to learn as we have learned from Prabhupada and try to repeat from Prabhupada what he is saying in his purports and in his books, his examples and stories and everything. Otherwise, sometimes we don't give the people what the medicine is for them. Actually, Bhagavatam is called Bhava Aushadi. Bhava Aushadat Shrutra Manobiramat. What is that verse? Nivritta Tarshairu Pagiyamanat Baba Ushadat Shrotramano Biramat Kavuttama Shloka Gunanu Vadat Puman Viraje Tavina Pashugnat. So he's talking about the pure devotees who are Nivritta Tarshai, who are free from all material desires. Upa Giya Manat. So Giya means to sing. Upa means near. It is heard by sitting near great souls, and upagiyamana bhava aushadat, it acts as a medicine for the bhava roga. Actually, here Prabhupada is condemning, Prabhupada is focusing on one thing which I did not talk at all till now. What is that point? Prabhupada is talking about only one main theme here, which is how a single pure devotee of the Lord can deliver all the fallen souls of the world. That's the main thing. But to become that single pure devotee, we have to hear like what we were talking now. Till now. These qualifications are necessary to hear. Then we can become like that single pure devotee Prabhupada is talking. Then we can have tremendous influence all over the world. Just like one Dhruva, he was standing on one toe and performing penance, but that affected the whole universe. All over the world, the demigods and others were influenced by that. One small boy in a forest, because he was holding Lord Vishnu so strongly in his heart, and the whole air in the whole universe was stopped from moving. So Prabhupada writes there in that commentary also, similarly one Vaishnava can have a tremendous influence all over the world. You see, we all have a desire in our heart for different things. And whatever desire we have, accordingly we influence the people around us. Like spreading, like aura, they say, you know, there is an aura around everyone. And more than aura is the thought wave. Thought wave travels from one place to another place. Aura doesn't travel. Aura is just around you only. Like there's a spiritual aura, there's a material aura. Like that. In fact, there are cameras nowadays to click a photo. If you are very angry, your whole body will be reddish in the camera. If you are meditating, chanting, and you are experiencing divine feelings, your whole body will be yellowish. And if somebody is, you know, doing some black magic on somebody, or if somebody is ignorant, then it becomes blackish. So there is one lady in MIT college researching on this, on gunas, Sattaguna, Rajaguna, Tamaguna and all that. Ara can be seen. But more than Ara is the thought wave. Whatever thoughts and desires we have, no, it travels around us. It affects the people around. Just like if you take a small stone, you put it in the water, then it creates small ripples. You take this much big stone, then it creates a little bigger wave. You take a huge boulder, from an elevation, you throw that big stone in the water. Then it creates a wave, probably a couple of kilometers it will go. So, just as that can create that type of wave, similarly, depending on the intensity of our desire, we influence the people around us positively or negatively. We influence the people around us. For example, somebody having a very big negative desire can also affect people negatively. Like Hitler. Hitler had so many followers. He had. And, you know, at one point of time, this foolish person, he decided that all the Jews have to be killed. You know. So, then all his supporters and followers, they assisted him in killing the Jews in such a large number. Hitler, Stalin, all these people. Similarly, there are also people who affect positively, like one Gandhi, affected the whole of India. You can see that how in Gandhi's times, Gandhi said, Hartal. Hartal means, he said, for Swaraj, everyone should give up the Manchester clothing, the clothing from Lancashire, British cloth, everyone should give up. Put it in the street and you burn it. Nobody should accept degrees from school or colleges of British. Nobody should go to the British courts, he said, in India. And practically the whole India agreed. Can you imagine? One man is giving a command and he is not even in any post or position. He was influencing the whole of India. He was called as the father of the nation. So, in this way we can find 1% intense desire can affect many people. Now if you see Srila Prabhupada, his intense desire to serve his spiritual master, and his intense desire to take the Vrindavan mood to the people of the West, that was so intense that when he arrived at the harbor in America, and then he gradually went to downtown Bowery, and staying in that place, you know, and those people were so deeply conditioned in smoking and drinking and drugs and women and everything. How can somebody elevate their consciousness from such a downtrodden consciousness to a Paramahamsa consciousness? Because the degree of desire Prabhupada had was extremely intense, that it could even change them. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was making all the Jharikhanda forest animals dance. Can animal ever dance? Have any of you seen any ordinary animals dancing? You make them dance by singing Hare Krishna, just sing. Is it possible? It's not possible. They are dull animals. They cannot understand what you are saying. But in Jharikhanda he made tigers and deers and elephants dance in transcendental ecstasy, crying tears. How could he do that? Because of the intense desire. But he is feeling such intense love for Krishna that is making them also dance in ecstasy. He is able to influence them. Like that Prabhupada influenced people of the West with his intense desire. Rather than becoming affected by their desires. Although the surrounding of America at that time and even now is very materialistic, people in general are chasing after the mirage of illusion. But Prabhupada didn't become affected by it. You know, he not only remained pure, he also made many, many more people pure. That's what he's saying in the purport. He preserved his purity and he also made many, many more pure devotees, influenced them positively. That means the desire was very intense. How do we get that intense desire in our lives? So that we can stay stably in Krishna consciousness and we can also make other people intense in Krishna consciousness. And that is only possible, as explained in Bhagavatam itself. Shushrusho shraddhanasya vasudeva katharuchi syan mahatsevaya vipra punyatirtha nishevanat. It is said, by serving those great souls, one's Vasudeva Katharuchi will increase. It is said. Like I told you about the Chasubhadas Maharaj's realization, very beautiful point. He said, let me do my duties very diligently. Let me serve Prabhupada by being his secretary and And also he says, let me hear him, hear his lectures and speeches very with rapt attention, and let me also observe him. You see, the advantage of associating with the advanced devotee is, there is a big difference between this and taking bath in Ganga. Ganga will never speak a word to you. You go with lot of sinful reactions and dump it in Ganga, Ganga will remove it. But she will not instruct you to become a better individual. You know, you just take a dip and come back. You will be the same person again. You may do the same old activities. But what is the advantage of serving an advanced devotee? When, like you, we have sannyasis coming here, you can ask those devotees who are serving those sannyasis. You'll find when you serve, one thing is you get to observe them. How they do what they do. How, like for example, when Gopakrishna Maharaj came, you know, the bathroom had one small slit below. He immediately observed that and he called Radhishyam. He said, I went to Radhishyam, see, this door is not up to the ground. There is a small slit, he said. Yes, Maharaj, there is a slit. So what? What's the problem? Yeah, this is bathroom, latrine. Huh? How can the slit be there? Air from inside will come outside and it will touch my deity. You know, it will become impure, he said. He said, no. You know, I cannot stay here. He said, then I said, Maharaj, can we arrange something outside for you? No, I want to stay here only. You have to repair it. He said, you have to close it, he said. Yeah. They are very attentive. Huh? Similarly, His Holiness Navagintra Swami Maharaj once, you know, he came by train. So I had taken a big garland. Sometimes we carry this garland with lotus petals, you know, or this rose petals or whatever. Huh? I carried that one because it's very attractive and fragrant, you know. So when I went and put it on him, you know, all of them petals started falling on the ground. My Lord, he became attentive to pick each and every one of those petals. Hey, Radhesham, what have you done? He picked up, give me the cover, and he put everything in the cover, and he took the garland also and put it in there. So he said, one petal should not be found down. Pick up everything. And he said, picked up everything, yeah. And I learned, yeah, that we should be very careful when we are handling a garland like this. Huh? We cannot. So, in this way, when you are serving advanced devotee, their attentiveness in serving Krishna you get to see. You also get to see their, like Vishwanath Bhaktivika Swami, whenever he comes to Pune station, we go to receive him. So in the train, inside only he started dancing when he saw us. And then he came out. And then he told, come from the beginning of the train to end of the train, we will do kirtan. So we generally go to receive someone. When as soon as they come, we stop the kirtan. He said, continue kirtan, he said. Then he also started dancing, you know. Then we went back and forth 2-3 times. Then we returned back. See, their enthusiasm is very contagious. So we can also learn from their enthusiasm. We can learn from their sincerity. Yeah. But for that we have to observe them. If you don't observe them, you will never learn. Yeah, not possible. Like I was in Bombay. Recently there was this festival of Radhanath Swami's book launch. It was a grand festival. And one cinema actress, one lady had come also. She's from the Bollywood. Very famous actress. Bollywood actress. And she had also come. And she spoke. She was glorifying. She got the book and all. She read. She spoke befittingly. She said, we are actresses. We are in the movie. And, you know, we act and do this and that. But she said, I feel very blessed and privileged to be in an assembly like this, where Swamiji's book is being launched. She was very thankful. And all. And it was a very powerful event because about 1,000 big industrialists had come. They had come for this event. And everyone's eye was on Radhanath Swami Maharaj. He was put in the center and children did drama from that book. And everyone was watching him. And Maharaj gave an interview to Piramal, Ajay and Swati Piramal. They both interviewed Maharaj about why he wrote the book and what the book contains and everything. A very wonderful event. And then there were kirtans and all. And then finally the kirtan was by our Gauravani Prabhu and his team. Very wonderful kirtan. So next day morning I happened to be in the Bhagavatam class. Maharaj gave Bhagavatam class. After the class I went close to Maharaj. Because generally he speaks very softly, you know. Sometimes there are 10 people pushing the head to hear what he is saying. It's really worth it. No matter how much crowd is, you can put your ears there because something wonderful will come up there. So I also was there in the front. So this Gauravani Prabhu told Maharaj, Maharaj, all people told me that I was the star of the event yesterday night, he said. Because I did the Gauravani Prabhu is from America. He did very wonderful kirtan with his team of many Matajis had come. And then Gauravani Prabhu said, I accepted Maharaj when they told me I am the star. Yes, I am the star, I told them. Although I am the star, not only I am star, me and my team members are like stars. And Maharaj is like the moon, he said. And then Maharaj gave a big laugh and said, yes, you can call me the moon if you wish, he said. But the sun of the event is Swati Piramal and Ajay Piramal. They are like the sun, he said. And he told why. He said, I never thought book launch is going to be so grand. But these people have spent about 20 lakhs for this event. And they have made it a very grand event. And if it was not for them, I would not have been sitting in the stage there. And then they brought all these 1,000 industrialists from all over Bombay, Pune and all. And they made a grand event. So the moon always draws light from the sun. So similarly, they arranged, they made me famous yesterday. So they are like the sun, he said. So I happened to hear this. Why I was telling you this? When we associate with great souls, then we will... There is one statement in Bhagavatam. Dambam Mahadupasaya. Our pride will be, you know, crushed into powder by associating with great souls. Dambam Mahat Upasaya. Mahat Logam ki upasana karne se hamare damb chur chur ho jata hai. That is the meaning of this. We will be forced to become humble. So when we observe the great souls and their activities, how humble they are, how simple they are, simplicity, how enthusiastic they are, and most importantly, beyond these qualities, is how much they have a heart that is full of raging love for Krishna. That is the most important quality, because in a renunciation, detachment, all these things are material qualities. But the spiritual quality that we are talking about is their love for Krishna. So if one can appreciate that, then we also get a bit of their natures by serving them, by associating with them. We will carry with us also. When we are associating with them, it's very important to closely observe them. As I once told you before, my great attachment to chanting and dancing, it awoke once when I happened to go to a trip in Chandigarh. Our Bhaktivinoda Prabhu had arranged Chandigarh and Shimla. We were having a youth meeting in 1997, I think. Prajanand Prabhu, Shankar Pandit Prabhu, we all went from Pune there. So after the Shimla youth retreat was over, we came back, and the last day they said there is a Ambala Ratyatra. We all went there. So we went there, and in front of the Rath cart, there was a huge crowd. In front of that crowd, there were devotees. And probably that is my first meeting with His Holiness Lokanath Swami, I think. On a very, very close note. Before that, I might have seen him probably. But that is the first time I saw the kirtan was a very explosive kirtan. You know, this was going on. He sings as he sings, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He was singing. And there were mridangam players were like elephants. There were practically, you know, this side two of them, this side two of them. Boom, 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 they were playing mridangam very powerfully. Their jambes were also playing. And big kartals were playing. There was a big circle of devotees around him. And Maharaj was having a headphone and this kind of mic. And his eyes were closed, he was carrying kartal. Chik, he was playing kartal and singing. And I saw Maharaj would sing two slow and one fast, like that. And they also knew it. They are already told. First two should be slow and third should be fast. And it went jing, chik, 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 jing. They would play like this, you know. And the whole crowd was moving, you know, like a vehicle. That itself was like sitting in a train or something. You just go with the crowd. We didn't realize. Almost 6 kilometers we walked. We didn't know where we were. If you are sucked into that inner circle of kirtan, finished, you can be out of the world. Yeah, it was. And that, it was such an inspiration, very amazing inspiration. Very amazing it was. So, we can practically show that what the Shastra says is true. That associating with great souls, simply even for a few moments, that verse says, you know, Tulayamala venapi na swargam na punarbhavam bhagavat sanghi sangasya martyanam kim utashishah. Even one moment, if one gets association of great souls, it cannot be equated to residing in heaven or even liberation. What to speak of the hellish material enjoyments, he is saying. One moment. You must have heard the story, you know. Once Narada Muni, you know, he saw whom? Not Amrit Bazar. This one is fish, I think. Yeah, he saw a fish. As soon as he saw a fish, and what did he ask him? What question he asked him? Immediately he died, you know. What he asked him? He asked him a question. Anyway, the fish died. What is the benefit of associating with the devotee? He asked. Immediately he died. And then later on, the same soul had entered into the body of a calf, correct? Yeah, he met the calf and he asked. Again, the calf also died. And Narada was wondering, what is this? Wherever I go, they are dying. And what's happening? And then he again went, he had gone to the body of a child. Yeah, the child also died, isn't it? And then later on, when he saw Narada Muni, that fellow, he was a devotee, isn't it? He had become a devotee and I think he gets four hands and he ascends to Vaikuntha, I think. Anyway, that story, what it says, that few moments of association of Narada had made them into devotees, and they were getting promotion in the next life very fastly. So actually, association means it should touch the heart. That is association. Otherwise there is no association. Simply not physical vicinity. You may touch somebody's body physically, that's not association. But the heart should be touched. I was telling you a few incidents of different Maharajas. These things very deeply touch my heart when I associated with them. And if it is touching our heart, then we also, that will remain as a seed of inspiration for us for all time. And always it will remain. And it will keep on giving us enthusiasm. So, by observing the great souls and by rendering them some service, the opportunity to render service to great souls is very special. We should hear them speak. I am telling you about observing their movements, but you can also hear them speak Krishna Katha with great enthusiasm, with great ecstasy. Because when they speak with transcendental ecstasy. So, and hearing from them and applying their instructions in our life. Once Bhakti Goswami Maharaj was sitting here, and immediately he told one devotee, "Hey, don't put your finger in your mouth." He said, go wash and come. So he went, washed and came. And after he came, Maharaj said, "Prabhupada told me also," he said. That's what I'm telling you. because Prabhupada told me, I will never forget, and I will repeat it to anybody who is doing the wrong thing. So this is another advantage of associating with great souls, that they will instruct us. That they will always keep instructing us. Don't do this, do this. Which Ganga will not do. Ganga may take away your sinful reaction, but a pure devotee, advanced devotees, they will give us instruction. What is right, what is wrong? Do this, don't do this. And that is very, very needed for us. And their standard is very high. Our standard is very low. So there is good chance of getting instructions. And we'll keep getting instruction. It's very good. Actually, when I associate with these people, of course, when these people come to Pune, they often call me to be with them. That is a big boon for me. I'm fortunate to be a president because I can associate with these people very closely. Because when you see them very closely, they call me in their car, I go with them, how they meet people, how they talk to people, what their consciousness is. I get to see very closely. Very wonderful. Although there is a servant also who takes care of their prasad and everything. Then when with great respect and love for them, you hear from them. then that hearing would be something. That hearing would make a lot of change in our heart. Transformation of heart can happen. Like he says here, then the sound of the message of Bhagavatam, when it enters our ears, it will make a big change. That is how we can grow. Because the other things, like, you know, knowledge, cultivating knowledge is not 64 limbs. Do you know that? In the 64 angas of bhakti, the cultivation of knowledge is not included. Do you know why? Because the cultivation of jnan is focusing on difference between spirit and matter. It is not fixing mind on Krishna. That is why knowledge is not one of the angas. They only fix their mind on how to discriminate between spirit and matter. Neti, neti. And vairagya is also not one of the 64 angas. Do you know why? Because vairagya means your mind is fixed on those objects which you have to reject. Correct? Oh, nadanam, najanam, nasundari. You fix your mind on those objects which you have to reject. That is vairagya. So, jnana and vairagya are not included in the 64 items. Because such kind of fixing our mind on object to be rejected or neti neti process, we may only develop hard-heartedness. We may not develop soft emotions towards Krishna. But they may be helpful sometimes to detach ourselves from this world. But the positive thing is very, very vital. What are the positive things? Anasakta Vishyan Yataraham Upanjita. We should take the things of this world and engage them in Krishna's service. And also, Shishu Shoshada Dhanasya. That is the most important thing, positive thing. You know, you can only purchase love for Krishna from the hearts of those who have it. From nowhere else. No other place in this world you will get it. We have to meet devotees, and devotees who have developed some attraction for Krishna, attachment to Krishna, by serving them, observing them very closely, asking questions to them. When you ask questions to them, you will see the determination and conviction in Krishna. And then something of it will cling to our hearts also. Radharani is the total wholesale dealer of Krishna Prem. There is nobody beyond her. And she gives to all the acharyas down the line. And they all have it. And then we can get from them. By associating with them and by hearing from them and submissively applying their instructions in our lives, and we can also get that Krishna Prem gradually. Now, Prabhupada disciples, you see, at one point of time, they were all small, very young devotees, just like any of us here, you know, when Prabhupada was in the planet. But they associated with Prabhupada very intimately. And now Prabhupada has left the planet, gone back to Godhead. Now they are running the mission of Prabhupada. And they have become very powerfully empowered now. Like Prabhupada is saying here, one of them is delivering so many people, so many places, by giving their association. So this is parampara. And we also should learn the art of properly associating. Like in October 10th to 14th, our ICFC devotees are going to Juhu Temple to render service to all the Mahatmas there for the GBC meetings. Last year also we got the opportunity. It's a great boon for our ICFC. Every year ICFC gets the opportunity to go to the GBC meetings. And you can watch closely so many swans, so many Rajahamsas or Paramahamsas. How they eat, how they talk, how they remember Krishna. Yeah. Very wonderful to observe them. And we can learn from them how to be Krishna conscious ourselves by associating with them. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki. Thank you very much.